Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny on the Fan. Show sponsored by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family, schedule a consultation with our buddies and their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell those Commanders fans over there that we sent you and that you are sympathizing with them. kmlawyers.com. Looking at the free agents to be for this roster, there are a bunch of them. These are the most notable, though, helpful players this season that have expiring contracts. I want to go through the list. We'll go one by one here, set up by position. And I want to know your interest. I'll give you my interest in bringing these guys back. Start at wide receiver. Dyami Brown had a monster postseason, 6 and 5 catches for 80-plus and 90-plus yards the last 2 weeks. Obviously fumbled. It was a killer yesterday at the link, but had a couple of good plays in the game as well. Seemed to have broken out and really benefited from more opportunity as a wide receiver, too. 4 years in the making. Dyami Brown.
Low interest. He can come back and be my fourth or fifth guy, but I need to do a lot better there at that spot.
So I actually completely agree with everything you said other than low interest. I have interest in bringing him back at the right price because I think he is athletic and can help, as you saw in the playoffs. But to your point, right now, this moment, he's their second wide receiver on their depth chart. I'd like him to be their fourth wide receiver on their depth chart going into the season. You got to go draft someone in the mid rounds with some size maybe that you like, sign someone for more money than you'd pay him if you're bringing him back to be ahead of him on the depth chart. What about Noah Brown, who caught the Hail Mary, did some pretty good things, and we forget because he got hurt that he was not a part really of this winning streak at all.
So more interest in him than Dyami Brown. But again, I wonder what the price is going to be. I don't imagine it'd be that expensive to
I'll
have
bet
him back.
That'd be peanuts to get him back.
Yeah, so I'm more interested in him than Dyami.
If I'm more interested in him, it's only because of cost. Because I think Dyami made himself some money in the postseason and is going to be able to make a couple million bucks more a year probably than he would have. But I'm more interested probably in Dyami than Noah. I think Dyami's more of a, you know, a downfield vertical threat. I also think there's a path to like him being able to help you if he's down the depth chart as your kind of Aldrick Robinson burner, so to speak, on some of the vertical stuff that you saw, like the deep corner against the Lions that he hit in the playoffs. Noah Brown is a very solid option in that like number two dig route, in breaker, clear things out opposite McLaurin role. But he's just like a pretty unexciting, watered down version of what I want. Like he is a, how would I say this? Kind of like a poor man's or like a D version, off-brand T. Higgins or something.
Right.
Like, go get me something better than that in that role. Alamide Zaccheaus, I'd say same thing. I want to bring him back down the depth chart. Like, Crowder, I respectfully, at his age and stuff, he could probably walk. But like an OZ is a fifth receiver or sixth receiver, and maybe, you know, he works this offseason and returns punts or something, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, more of a true slot guy. I'd like to do better there as a more dynamic slot guy, but I don't know how readily those guys are just falling from trees, so I could certainly do that.
So any of those guys' priorities to bring back?
Noah Brown for me probably would be my number one. But again, I'm not breaking the bank for anybody. So yeah. If they get a great offer somewhere, thank you so much. Enjoy it.
I would say the closest thing to a priority would be Diami, but none of them are. Those are all replaceable players mm-hmm. at a position where only McLaurin, by the way, and McCaffrey are under contract. They may have a very different looking receiver.
Yeah, for sure.
Zach Ertz, who caught 11 balls for 100 yards yesterday. Now, this is obviously a priority. I think this is fascinating, though.
Yeah.
Because Ertz is great in his role, which is safety valve, make yourself available to the quarterback, do some stuff around the line of scrimmage, not get anything after the catch. If you hadn't drafted Ben Sinnott, I'd say absolutely, bring him back. He signed for a year and $3 million this past year, even if he's going to make a few million more than that because he had a big year compared to not being able to stay healthy the last couple of seasons. Fine, no problem. But I would still then want like a playmaking tight end that can go down the field a little bit and who's just more athletic and creates more problems and puts more pressure on the defense. To have Sinnott and Ertz and Bates all under contract, you don't keep four at that spot. So unless they moved on from Bates and Sinnott became their big blocking tight end and Ertz was kind of their number two possession guy, and then my mystery tight end to be named later comes in and adds to the passing game, maybe that's the path forward. But it's a long-winded way of me saying I think you got to bring Ertz back.
Yeah, this is actually – I think you lit it out very well. This is a really hard one. So let's say there's two faders, but they're both opposite. Like veteran leadership and explosive dynamic play. For Ertz, they're going in the opposite directions. So eventually, if one is 100 and one's 0, you have like a 75-year-old that literally can't run but would be a great leader. So we're not there yet, but that's kind of the scale I'm talking about. I really want someone more dynamic there. I also love what Zach Ertz brought to this team. You already said it. The safety valve, the box out guy, the short space goal line type stuff. You know when
he did it all day yesterday.
He did it all day
11
yesterday
for 100.
But you go into the like it's third and goal from the 7. What are you running? Spread everybody out. Here's Ertz boxing out a safety or nickel corner, catching the touchdown pass against Atlanta. The whole world knew where they were going, and they went to Zach Ertz, and he makes the play. I still want that, but I also really want to do a lot better than that between the 20s and have someone a lot more dynamic. I don't know if that guy's available. I'm hoping Sinnott grows into the role, but it's a long-winded way of saying I'm with you. I would actually really like to bring Ertz back.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think he's got to be back. He's also just so popular in the locker room and a big part,
huge part of it, yeah,
of like what they built this year. But it would be a bummer to me if in training camp next year it's Ertz, Bates, and Sinnott, because I don't like Ben Sinnott's potential, but I think it's a better athletic after the tackle, after the catch, harder to tackle version of what we saw from Ertz this year. It's not like what Goddard is, what you saw yesterday, where that guy can run like 15, 18, 20-yard routes. All right, what about Tress Way? To me, that's a no-brainer. Easy to get done.
Yes,
I'm sure he'll want to be back, and they should want him back.
Yes, agree. Double down.
Austin Seibert.
No. I don't care.
I would agree with that. I would hope that their kicker's not on the roster. And by the way, it shouldn't be that hard to fix that problem. You just throw money at a good kicker. Now, they tried that.
They did.
With Brandon McManus. They didn't know that with that addition was coming a lot of baggage from a flight when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, allegedly. All charges were dropped, and he ended up kicking for the Packers. But do what you did with Brandon McManus. Go out and sign a guy to a 2 or 3 year deal who kicked his ass off in the league this year and fix that problem. Just throw some money at it.
Agreed.
I do not want to draft a kicker, I will say that.
I agree with that, too.
I think Peters was in San Fran when they drafted Jake Moody. That's kind of become more of a thing around the league recently. It's like you go draft the best kicker in the country. I hate when teams do that because I think the batting average is way lower than you think.
Yeah.
Like San Francisco's going to cut Moody. If you remember the kid from Georgia, I think it was like Rodrigo Blankenship was like the best kicker in the country that the Colts drafted. He's been out of the league all year. I remember
Roberto Aguayo, second rounder.
The Bucks was terrible. Like there's really... There are great examples. The Rams, Carney this year was awesome. The Saints, I don't know if they drafted the kid groupie, but he was like a recent really good college kicker. But it's just too hard to guess with those guys. So undrafted free agent college kicker can come in and compete. But I'll just sign a guy for $5 million a year or whatever.
Yeah, I'd like to not do 8 kickers or whatever the hell they did this year. I'd like one, but the beggars can't be choosers, I suppose.
And I will say Zane Gonzalez, who I didn't mention, ended up making his kicks. It was kind of a wild ride at time in pregame warmups. He did miss a kick against Detroit, but more often than not, he went out there and nobody felt good about it, I don't think, as he's lining up. with his little awkward style, like straight on, just approaching the ball. But he did it.
He did fine.
He made the kicks.
Mm-hmm.
3 for 3 yesterday. Dante Fowler Jr. This one's interesting.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. It might get too rich. This year was one of the, that was one of the best values in the whole league. What they got from him, I think he had more sacks than certainly than Chase Young ever did, or right around where Montez Sweat was.
10.5 sacks.
For $3 million bucks? I mean, now, if he's in the $15, $16, $17 million range, that may not be worth it anymore. But I'd like to offer him a raise, bring him back if possible, but if it gets too rich, I think I turned my profit around.
I don't think he's going to make half of what you're talking about.
You don't think so? After 10.5 sacks?
No, because he can't play the run, really. I mean, he's a situation, like, you saw it in the game the other day, I'm sure it wasn't last night. He played his lowest snap count in months because they were playing a team that plays bully ball and runs, and he's a liability against the run. So they had a lot more like Jalen Holmes and, you know, Allen on the edge and stuff. He's a package player, situationally used edge rusher. I'm with you. I think he'll make better money than he did this year because he's coming off 10.5 sacks for the first time since 2019. Only the second time in his career where he's had a year like that. But I think it's a handful of million, you know, $5-6 million, maybe something like that.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would too. He would probably just be that package player and, like, ideally a third defensive end, though, because he's just not able to play all downs like you would want. What about Cleveland Farrell, who was kind of like the platoon with Fowler, so to speak, more of a run-stuffing defensive end than a pass rusher?
I think I can find another Cleveland Farrell. I'll let him go.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, you need a guy like him. I'll say this. I agree with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden came on today, and the position he said that's most important to him to address is defensive end. He mentioned pass rush, which is fair. You always want more of that. I want someone who can set an edge against the run. I want someone. They could not stop outside zone this year. Think about Bijan Robinson in Atlanta, someone like Jahmyr Gibbs, even Saquon, anything that went outside. It was a disaster.
You could book for yards, yeah.
I'd love to. Like, the idea of Cleveland Farrell is great. Like, a version of that. To me, a guy that can play the run and rush the quarterback a little bit. But whether that's 28 overall or in the second round or their number one free agent signing, a defensive end would make a lot of sense to me. Bobby Wagner.
Yes. Even though it's probably going to be for a bit more money, that's that what we talk about with Ertz to me. This is the heart and soul, the guy that everybody looks to. Again, he can't run like he used to, so I'd have to supplement here, there, and everywhere, try to sort of figure out how to compensate for that. But I think, you know, what did he have, 140 tackles this year? I think he could still play. I think you have like a London Fletcher 2.0 situation on your hands. I'd bring him back.
Yeah, he made 130 tackles, which is 50 fewer than he had the year before. But he did finish as a second-team All-Pro. So this one's complicated. I love Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
Like, just couldn't love him anymore. My answer is yes, you got to bring him back. So I should get that out of the way. But when we're talking about bringing back Wagner's 34, maybe a two-year deal or whatever.
Yep.
Bringing back Ertz, who's, I think, the same age, to a two-year deal or whatever. Like, Wagner's speed occasionally shows up, or lack thereof at this point. The first run by Barkley.
Yeah.
He stumbled, but he, like, couldn't get out there to make the play, whatever.
He would have been in there anyway if he hadn't stumbled, yeah.
I don't... You got to sometimes with these guys be a year early, not a year late. And so I don't think it's like a, if they decide not to bring Bobby Wagner back and they kind of thank him as their Walter Payton Man of the Year for changing the culture and giving him exactly what they wanted, I would also understand that. I just happen to love the guy so much that I go, sure, bring him back. But is there a world where there's someone that can occasionally play and split some time or whatever with him? Now, if he played at the exact same level next year as he played at this year, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just assume... And in the same way, from 33 to 34, there was a slight tick down. From 34 to 35, there's another one. And, like, how much of that can you have with Ertz, with Wagner, before you start going,
this is now a liability.
Are we just chasing the high of the last few months and how fun this was? Like, how do you get better than you were? The goal shouldn't be to just, like, you know, sustain what they did. The goal is, over the next 2-3 years, to get better. So it gets complicated in that way. You got to kind of be robotic. And not a fan of the guys that you brought in that you love.
That's another hard one, yeah.
Benjamin St. Juste.
No, thanks.
I don't think he's as bad as everybody thinks, but it goes without saying he will not be back. He needs a fresh start somewhere else. Noah Igbinoghene.
No, thanks.
I'd bring him back. He played really well. I think there's a chance that you could have Noah Ai at nickel and Sanra still at corner with Lattimore. You still sign or draft a corner or two and everybody competes, but you feel a lot better about that position, especially because it's a weakness. He knows DQ. He's been with him in two stops. Again, he played at a high level at times, was okay for the kind of the duration of the season. I would definitely bring him back. But like a De'Ami Brown, my goal would be that he would kind of slide down in importance a little bit and not be an every down guy.
Because I think 11. The goal should be to have Sanders still be what they draft him to be, which is the nickel guy.
Yeah.
And that means a whole new cast of corners, right? That would include a couple sure. guys on the outside opposite Lattimore.
But Igbinoghany's played outside and inside.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a nice backup and depth guy that could play special teams. Like, I just think he played well enough and probably doesn't cost a lot of money. Last one, and this guy's I'd really like to bring back, is Jeremy Chinn.
100%.
Now, in a perfect world, might you do a little bit better? Like, instead of a good safety, you have an all-pro safety? Sure. That's hard to do at every position. I actually thought Chinn was awesome at times this year. And him and Fowler and probably Wagner were their three best players.
Three bang for your buck there,
that are on this list, with Ertz being just right behind them as, like, the fourth guy.
Without a doubt. And, you know, again, they don't make Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, these kind of rangy free, you know, center field safeties anymore that fly all over the place. What you have is, you know, kind of a I would say a slightly better version of Cam Curl, downhill, thumping, playmaker, not great in coverage, you know, not going to run down the field and chase things down, think Sean Taylor ranging from sideline to sideline. I don't think that exists anymore, quite frankly. So to me, he's almost a linebacker and a half in for, you know, half the plays and then, you know, safety for the other plays. And in that role, I think he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I give him a B minus for the season, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he could do a lot worse. And I think he is, like many of the guys that were along for this ride, going to be helpful if you were to bring him back in terms of the culture that's been established, the confidence now in the building, knowing how things are going to be done here, and helping to implement that with the next group. Because you don't just want to replace 17 guys after you just got to the NFC Championship game. Let's go to Patrick in the city. What's up, Patrick? You're on Grant and Danny.
What's up, Grant? What's up, Danny? Good evening.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, I agree with a lot of you guys signing to who you want to bring back or who you don't want to bring back, and I have no quorum with them. One thing I want to say is, although we do like Bobby Wagner, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion, you know, he has 13, 14 years experience. He's good for the culture. He's good to establish that middle linebacker spot. But would you want your 34-year-old Mike linebacker chasing around whoever's going to draft Ashton Jeanty and Saquon Barkley for another 17 games? So I'm looking at, you want to replace Bobby Wagner with a more sideline-to-sideline Mike linebacker.
At some point, yes.
I also,
like, thank you, buddy.
It goes without saying, and man, the last thing I want to do is run down Bobby Wagner, because I don't think he deserves it. I think he was really good. And again, he's probably, outside of Frankie Louvu, my favorite player on the team right now, like, full stop. I love the guy. I think in the locker room, he is a dude. He's an alpha. He runs the show. It's his locker room. So I'm bringing him back because I think he is a commander. Like, he's a core tag, whatever you want to use it, guy. But I don't think it's complete coincidence that they were bad at stopping the run, especially outside, and your Mike linebacker is a guy who's, like, not fleet of foot. I think Wagner is really, really good coming downhill and, like, between the tackles and being physical and taking angles and stuff. I don't think it's going to be a strength for him at this point, going sideline to sideline to stop the run. I don't think that gets better next year.
No, I agree with you. And this is where it's really hard. Letting someone go doesn't mean you did bad. Letting someone walk doesn't mean that we don't like you. It's what you're doing is trying to predict future performance. And if their evaluation, talking about Peterson Company, goes, let's say, I'm just making up a number, right now he's a 70 ranging, you know, for outside runs, and he's an 81 in coverage, but we think in a year he'll be a 62 and a 74, and that's not worth it to us at this dollar amount, then you go, okay, we got to let him go, even though he did everything that you brought him here to do, right? Everyone got something out of it. Right, Wagner was the leader that he was asked to be. He's the guy giving the speech. He's the guy bringing everyone together. He's your Walter Payton Man of the Year. It's not one of those, God, I can't wait to be rid of that guy. I want to wash my hands of him. The caller's right. At some point, you're going to have to make that move. Right, a guy that's a Hall of Famer
yeah.
can't play like that anymore. And it's you're not mad at anybody. It's just, hey, this business goes on.
And this year, he was really good.
Yeah, second-team All-Pro.
Can he be really good again next year? That's what you're betting on. But that I would say that's one of their five best free agent signings of the last 20 years. I mean, I mean that. Like, I think he was that important to what they got done and how Jaden developed and the conversations they were having and just the relationship between those two guys and what he meant to the building. And also, again, we're making it sound like the guy can't play anymore. He played at a really high level at a really important position. They haven't had a linebacker in his role do what he did at that level in several years because Ron and company neglected the position, essentially. All right, let's get to what we always do on Monday after games. Don't forget about. Don't forget about the ride. I know that yesterday stunk and that giving up 55 is embarrassing and that losing by 32 to a division rival who's laughing you out of their building feels awful. But my God, man, this team was supposed to go 6-11. They made the playoffs. They went to Tampa and won. They won a game nobody thought they would in Detroit. And then they went to Philly and most of us had talked ourselves into after seven straight wins the fact that they might just mess around and somehow upset an Eagles team that was more talented than them. Best year in 33 years, most successful team I've ever covered, certainly, but followed as a fan of this team in my entire life. I got three kids. I'm 36 years old. Don't forget how fun this season was. And I know a lot of you aren't ready to get there yet, but when you get there, like the rest of us have already kind of decided we're just focusing on that part, don't forget. None of this was supposed to happen this year. That was just a house money run, man. That was a good time.
I think that's a good one. Don't forget about the fact that Washington had the ball at their own 49-yard line towards the end of the third quarter, down 11 points as they were moving the football. Just before this play occurred, as I'm about to reference, Zach Ertz on a 3rd and 10 for 13 yards, basically to bring it right to midfield. If Washington goes down and scores right there, is it a different ballgame? I have no idea. Their defense didn't get a stop pretty much all day. And even when they did, they committed penalties. But I would have loved to have seen it. Would have loved to have seen if Jaden Daniels doesn't kind of fall away or not put enough mustard on it. And Austin Eckler didn't have to go down to the ground. And then as he's getting up, credit to, I believe it was Oren Burks, made a fantastic play that you got to tip your cap sometimes. Where he knocks that ball out, it's recovered. Philadelphia gets it, goes down and scores. And the rest of the game is academic. But don't forget about that huge moment. What seems like a blowout. It wasn't that crazy that Washington could have been in the game there at the end.
Don't forget about Terry McLaurin taking a slant and going to the crib. 36-yard touchdown, just all heart and hustle and speed. Everything that Terry is, balled up into one. 3 for 51 in a tutty. Didn't really get heavily involved. Not his fault necessarily. But what a run he had in these playoffs. What a second half of the season he had. I think he had nine touchdowns in the final eight games, if memory serves. And never again will he be underrated on a national scale. I mean, he was a great beneficiary of this playoff run, got all the deserved love that has eluded him over the years, touchdowns in the last four games, including all three playoff games. Just a incredible second half of the season for McLaurin.
Don't forget about the number, 118.7. That's Tressway's quarterback rating. You put some respect on that holder's name.
That's a dime.
That's Tressway. First of all, over one defender in front of the other? Tressler.
Dot.
Huh?
More passing yards in NFC Championship game history. Tressway or Dak Prescott?
It's old Tressler.
That's Tress, baby.
By the way, is he kick left-footed and throw right-handed?
He does.
Isn't that unusual? That's pretty cool.
Last time it was called Puma. This time it was called Soda.
Soda. Soda means throw it over the linebacker to Ben Sennett. By the way, the dude from the Eagles that was rushing and goes by him, that's the ultimate bleep when as soon as he realized that Sennett released.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You may know his father, Jeremiah Trotter.
I'm aware. That worked out great for us. But that poor kid was just seizing that moment. Oh, no.
Yeah, I just want to say to end the show, to this ownership group, Josh Harris, Mitch Rails, Mark Ein, Magic Johnson, the whole crew, to the front office, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark and company, to Dan Quinn, who built a great coaching staff in the year that he put together and turned it into just a fourth down maven. Loved that. To all of the players who made this run possible. This was as much fun as we've had on air. I won't speak for you, but I'll speak for myself. As I've had on air getting to do this in, you know, 20 plus years of radio and here on 106.7 The Fan since 2009. So thank you for what was an amazing stretch. It's a shame that they came up short, but again, they weren't supposed to have as much talent as the Eagles, and they clearly don't.
Yeah, this was up there, honestly, with the championship runs, and obviously it's a game shy of that, but the joy of not having to look towards next season in October, November, December, and the entire month of January, pretty much, is a gift. So I'm with you. Thank you.
For Darris and Ryan and Chris, Grant and Danny, saying so long. We appreciate you guys listening to the show today. We'll be back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Overtime with the Nell comes your way next.
Thank you for coming.